You ever notice I make videos about the most mundane, most just careless, unimportant stuff? Show of hands. How many people think I do it deliberately? How many people think that I actually do this stuff deliberately? Did I try to pick the most mundane, most uninteresting parts of life and create commentary or pictures about it? I just posted pictures of me cleaning my bathroom. What the hell is that about? What the hell is that about? Me posting pictures of me cleaning my bathroom. I mean, what is that about? What does it mean? What's the point? What point am I serving in doing this? Do you think I have a point? No. Another question. Show of hands. How many people think that this is a contrived strategy or that I'm doing this on purpose? I've been doing this purposely for years. And within my head, within my thought process, within this whole zeitgeist of Jeffrey TV and what it is to be Jeffrey, I know that I'm picking the most uninteresting, weird, mundane, completely just why stuff. And I'm consistently doing it, and I've been consistently doing it for decades. I have a strategy. Show of hands. How many people think that I know what I'm doing? Or at least I think I know what I'm doing. I have a plan. I have a strategy. I can't tell you why I'm doing it. But what I can tell you is that I get a deep pleasure from doing it. I get a very deep joy and pleasure from doing it. There's just something in me that makes me feel good by doing this Jeffrey TV thing, whatever it is. I mean, why would I post pictures of me cleaning my bathroom? Of course there's video. I got video of me making Brussels sprouts. And I've said this before. It has to be a combination of me loving, utilizing, and exercising my ability with the technology. The performance aspect of it. There's no doubt I love to perform. And the combination of those two with the fact that I really do have something to say. Now, I don't preach. I'm not as aggressive with my thoughts anymore or my opinions. Where years ago, I would have been triggered by certain things. In fact, I saw a couple of posts this week that made me go, and I wanted to say something, but I understand human beings. I understand human beings and their beliefs and their faiths and their understanding. And I also understand how if the masses are going in this direction, ooh, I better be recording. Am I getting audio? And if the masses are going in this direction, the tendency is for everybody to go in that direction, even if they think they're being contrary, even if they think they don't go with the flow. They may go against the flow, but they're still going with the flow. Probably even me to a degree where I think I just, everybody goes left, I want to go right. I'm probably going with the flow more than I think. A lot less than others now, but a lot more than I probably perceive myself to be. Because you need the flow. When I was younger, I didn't understand how much I needed the mainstream or the main ideas of everything to use them. You need that backdrop. You need that backdrop. Just like everything is funky, but everything ain't funk. And because the reason what makes everything funky, I didn't have to put the everything ain't funk part is. Funky is just something different. We are so subjective as human beings in our consciousness that we can see the same thing two different ways. Not only that, but every little thing can be different, and that little difference is funky, no matter what the difference is. So no matter what it is, No matter what it is, to somebody, it's going to be funky. But in my thinking of funky and the P-Funk and the way I came into it, it was that mainstream protocol, believe this way, that kind of straight 1950s, straight and narrow thinking and acting and manners and politeness and all that, that I thought that I was going against to be funky. That I see that, see, you can't be funky if you don't have something, a contrast. So if you don't have this, this don't mean nothing. If everybody's going like this, there's no contrast. Funky needs a contrast. Funk doesn't. Funk is something else different, if you ask me. Funk is like the whole understanding of everything. One of my favorite sayings is funk can only be described by one unto itself. Had to stop producing work. I think I was talking about funk and funky and funk. Blah, 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 blah. Also, I realized I have a lot to say. I do have a lot to say. And the technology, the fact that I love the technology provides me a platform and a way to document the things that I want to say and disseminate it out into the ether. Whether somebody hears it or not is not the point. I understand that, I believe at least, or understand that once it's created and put out there, then just don't worry about it. Just create it and put it out there. And let history and let the world act upon it. Just get it. Just put it out there. And I'm sitting in my house by myself, undistracted. Remember we were talking about the undistracted, how I would rather, or, you know, just be. Okay, I forget where I left off again. I got to do work. I got to make sure I do my work. I do my work first. And I have to admit and say that I'm not 100%. I'm just not 100% right now. I'm doing what I can do. I'm probably doing, I don't feel like I'm doing better than most right now, but I very well may be, you know, but I feel like I need to, maybe I've been working too long. Maybe I need a break. Even though I just had one, I don't know. But the whole thing, I got so much to say. I got a platform to say it. I can sit in my room, undistracted, and concentrate on just what I want to concentrate on. And I'm building this thing. I feel like I'm building it, and I'm not even sure what it is, but I know exactly what I'm doing. That is why I post pictures of me in the bathroom. And also, it's important to me to have the freedom to do that. The freedom, the space, the playground, the environment, the terrain, the range to do that. It's always been very important for me. Always been very important to me to say whatever I wanted to say, whenever I wanted to say it, however I wanted to say it. To the point where I realized that to do that, sometimes I have to be by myself. And small sacrifice. I will be by myself to do that. If that's what needs to happen, I need to be by myself. That's what I'm going to do. Because whatever it is in me, whatever this is, whatever just me talking to cameras, and I got all my cameras set up, I got like 9 cameras set up in here, microphones, wireless microphones, remote controls. It really is. I'm in my zone, in my space. This is what I want to do. I want to take pictures of me cleaning my bathroom and post them like I had just went to Paris. And also, I got to say this now, too. The fact that I've been to Paris probably makes me able to post pictures about me being in the bathroom, me cleaning my bathroom. The fact I've been to Egypt, I've been to the Great Wall, I done did all these things. So I can post pictures of me cleaning my toilet. That's who I am. I done done it. I done been to the mountaintop. Actually, I haven't. I still got a couple more continents to go to. Got to see Antarctica, and I still haven't seen the Northern Lights. haven't been to South America either. But that's on the horizon. Been to a Super Bowl. But you know what I mean? It's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, you know, and it goes back again to me being fulfilled. Since I'm fulfilled and I'm at a place I'm very happy at, I'm content with who I am and what I am and what I'm doing, things that other people do don't trigger me. Like, there's certain beliefs, certain posts, certain memes, people say stuff that would really irritate me, and I would almost have to lash back out. I would almost have to lash back out. Something in me to say, what are you talking about? I'd almost feel not obligated, but it was just something in me. When I say, somebody, you know, post something about, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, now I'm just like, mildly triggered. Whereas before I would, you know, I would come back at them, but in a nice way, in a very intellectual way. You know, I wouldn't just, you just can't, I learned that you just can't run directly at them. You got to like float something out there. You know, you ask the right little question, you know, the right little vague little question to make them think, to answer, to have them lead back into that train. You just don't want to take the train and go like that to them. You don't want to do that. You don't want to just run the train into them. You want to say, hey, what about this? So they turn around and they go back. And then the train hits them on their own. Oh, Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Is there anything better than a person accomplishing or becoming the person that they always wanted to be? Is there anything greater or better than a person achieving or becoming that thing or that idea that they always wanted to be? That's why I ended, my name is Jeffrey. All my videos, my name is Jeffrey. I celebrate every elementary particle in every atom in this or in any universe. It's the whole thing, everything about it, completely. Somewhat in the Buddhist philosophy, there is no right or wrong. There's only suffering. And everything is how you look at different things. So everything is so subjective that there's no clear-cut universal up or down, yes or no. And the understanding that I have, that I evolved to have in the financial and just stability health-wise and warmth and protection and achievements. I'm just talking about Maslow's hierarchy now. To what he calls self-actualization. It's almost more than that. It's more. Yep. Yeah. I think a lot of it may have to do with me feeling, being free. Being free is one part of it, but also being comfortable with who and what I am. That has to play a part in it. Being comfortable with who and what I am is very important to me, or means a lot to me, or is important, or plays a big part of it. I was on a line of thought thinking that after I just posted the last video about having an agenda, or just being comfortable with who I am or what I'm doing, to have that freedom just to express uninhibitedly. That is something I distinctly remember wanting to have all my life. To be able to express whatever I thought, however I thought, whenever I thought, almost indiscriminately. That was major for me. Being creative was one thing. But to express thought and to ask questions was always major, major, major with me. And I guess to do that, you have to be comfortable. I may be grasping here. And I guess to do that, you may or may not have to be comfortable with who and what you are. And I am extremely comfortable with who and what I am. Then I begin to wonder, how many people reach a point in their life or get to a point where they can say that they're completely, or they're very fulfilled of being who they are, and they love what they are and achieved the things that they want to achieve? And more so on top of that, how important is that to a person? Now, granted, I know that there are many different kinds of people. Diversity is the key of life, so we need all kinds of people. We need people with my personality. We need introverts. We need extroverts. We need shy. We need mean. We need everybody. We need the gamut of people. There is no right way. There is no defined right way or wrong way to be a person or to be human or to go through this life. What I'm doing is relating what a person is or becomes to what they want to be. That is subjective in some ways, and in other ways is objective. That means you can still have a variety of different kinds of people. You have people who like to play golf. You can have people who don't like to play golf. You can have people who like sunshine. You can have people who don't like sunshine. People who like winter, don't like winter, fall. They can have the gamut. It's up to each individual to determine or to decide what it is for themselves to be and to like and to prioritize and to determine what ought to be, what should be, and what's supposed to be. You only can really decide that for yourself, unto yourself. How many people actually can achieve this kind of sense of well-being or this kind of sense of connectedness to everything or connected to nothing? And again, like I said, since it's all different kinds of people, there's going to be people out there who don't want to be connected to nothing. And that's okay. That's just, if that's what they want to be, can you see what I'm saying? If that's what they want to be, they can be just as happy as somebody who's done everything in the world. If you achieve what you want, how happy should you be, or how happy will you be? And then how much effort should you put into becoming what you want? I know for a fact a lot of people just put off what they want to be, their desires. A lot of people put it off because it's too hard. It's not easy. It's definitely not hard. I mean, it's definitely not easy. It's hard. It takes work and understanding. And the hard part is just not labor. You just can't go out and, you know, beat something to death. You just can't go out and just bang on something. And it's not labor. It's an intellectual drive. It's an understanding. It's taking in things different ways. It's learning. Learning and understanding the things around you and how you fit and work in the inner workings around you while still holding on to a sense of yourself and achieving the things that you want. One of the things I wanted to say, I really wanted to set up and say is, you have to be ruthless at some point. I know for a fact I had to be. I know for a fact I had to be. Well, of course, again, everything I'm saying is from my subjective view. Everything I say can be easily proven invalid because of the wide variety of experiences and possibilities that life has. First of all, let me just say that. But I need to talk in this terms just to get my point out. For me, I had to be ruthless. I mean, to a point, there's definitely a sense of ruthlessness involved, where you got to like be able to tell people no. You got to be able to carve out your space in life. You got to be able to walk away from some people. You got to be able to walk away from some situations. You got to be able to just shut some things down, family included. I mean, ideals that you grew up in a family and they can have a certain ideology or way of thinking. And if it doesn't match what you want, you got to step away from that family or way, or you got to figure out a way how to make a harmony to get what you want versus what your family or people around you want. And I say family because these are people that you are tied to that may not be negotiable. You are just tied to these people, especially growing up. You're young. I mean, you're totally dependent on your mother and father. And to some extent, school and jobs when you get older, whatever, you have to learn how to work within that system. And I learned early. I learned young. I don't know how young I was, but I was young when I learned that how to get along. How to get along and still get what I want. That's one way to go. But it's still at some point, you got to be ruthless. You got to cut people off. You got to say people no. You got to step away. And one thing that I did learn was attachment. I really minimized my dependency and attachment on anything or anybody. I remember, you know, there's a few times where my happiness and well-being was overwhelmingly affected by the actions of someone else. And I did not like that at all. That was something that I could not deal with. And I had to put things in place, which included a change in understanding, a change in the way I relate to things, how much I depended on myself, how much experience and joy I could pull from myself, independence, all the way down to traveling by myself, to living by myself, while still maintaining a balance with the people around me, family included, work, society. You got to get along to some degree. And I say that from my perspective, because actually you don't. Maybe it's some people, like some people, maybe it's just not there to get along. Maybe they don't want to get along. Maybe they just want to be left alone. They don't want to get along. And they could be happy living under a bridge, not having to deal with anybody or anything. Who's to say that they're not happy? If that's what they want, they've achieved that. They fulfilled what they want to be. Maybe total separation from everybody and everything. There's some people who move to the woods and live out their life just isolated from everybody. I personally couldn't do that, regardless of how I feel about people, jokingly or maybe even real, how I feel about people in society. And sometimes what I perceive as limitations or restrictions or dysfunctionalities within society. And even saying all that, inconsistencies, dysfunctions, perversions, all that disruptive whatever about society and human beings, I know that I need that around me. I know that's just part of life, and without it, we need that. We need that. That's why I say every single drop, everything. And I remember when I stumbled on the Buddhist philosophy about how to understand the things around you. It hit me that how I understand the things around me is more important than the things around me. How I understand and deal with and react to the things around me are more important than the things around me, or what they're doing, what they're actually doing, or what's actually going on, to a degree. Now, there's some situations that where, you know, there's some drastic situation where things are just completely out of hand, off the wall. I mean, just there's just some ruthless stuff out there that where, you know, people are born in situations that, you know, it's, I mean, the worst. Just think of the worst thing you can possibly think of. And even so, saying that, I understand that we need that in life. That needs to be a part of life. And it will always be a part of life. Just like racism, sexism, xenophobia. I don't even know what xenophobia is. I need to Google it. In fact, let me do that right now. Oh boy, I don't have that. I definitely don't have, I'm not a xenophobist. No, an excessive fear, dislike, or hostility towards people or things that are perceived as foreign or from outside one's own social group, nation, or country. In fact, I'm just the opposite. I'm craving those things. I'm craving to see something different. I'm definitely not that. But I can't say that somebody who is a xenophobic or whatever is right or wrong. If that's what they want to be, if it's in their nature to be that, they really maybe have no choice. And if that's what they want to be, and that's what, you know, they want to go out and just not be bothering anybody and, you know, have this hatred. Even if you want to be a hatred, even if you want to be a racist, whatever it is, if that's what you want to be, no one else, nobody in the planet can tell you you're wrong. Nobody can tell you you're wrong. Nobody or nothing. I mean, yeah, that goes down to murderers and some things that I really would not mention right now. Just think of some of the most grotesque, taboo, unthinkable, unspeakable acts or things. If there are people out there who that's what they want to be and they achieve it, who's to say? Who's to say it's right or wrong? And that's my point. I keep going back to this point and banging on because if I bang on, I take it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and get a better way to phrase it, or maybe a harder way, a deeper way, a more drastic way, you know, that hits harder. Because the idea is just too... Well, the idea isn't too, I was just kind of talking. But by doing this, I hone in my skills of expressing. And I'll say it better and better and better. Like I was talking to my buddy at work who's a comedian. You do your routine over and over and over and over and over. And it takes years and sometimes a long time till you get it down. And that's kind of what I'm doing now by telling these same... I know I tell a lot of these stories over and over and over and over and over. But to me, they're like, they're not new, but it's like telling them again is new. And there's something in me that says, tell that story again. Tell that story again. You don't tell the story. Tell that story again. Say it again. Say it again. Add this piece that you kind of discovered. Add this piece that you discovered to your understanding of that. See how that fits in. How this thinking led you to that. And then incorporate it all into one. So how important is it? Of course, everything's relative, and I just got through saying it matters different degrees of people. It comes down to nothing matters. Basically, it really comes down to nothing matters. Nothing in this universe matters. Only what you want. Only what you feel. The only thing that matters in this universe is what you feel. Not what the person down the street feels, not what your mother feels. And to a lot of degree, not to what your own children and your child feels. And I have to, you notice I backed up off of that because I've seen mother. Mother is the most powerful thing I've seen in this universe. And it's hard for me to even make my mouth say that about how I've seen mothers feel about their children. And in a way, and it's oftentimes that they would, to say that they would die for their children is an understatement. That's just such an understatement. It doesn't do it justice. I mean, there's just some stuff, you know, that connection I've seen. I've never seen anything like that, you know. So it's almost hard for me to say that for a mother, that maternal thing, that what they want is more important than their children. That if there's anything hard, if there's one situation where I have to kind of like go, it's that one. It's that one. But in reality, the hardcore fact is nothing matters except for what you want. Nothing in the universe matters. Nothing at all. The only thing that matters is what you want. As an individual, there's no other justification. You can say the Bible, you can say scripture, you can say God, you can say the president, you can say United States, you can say whatever. You know, family, you know, gangs, whatever, the team, anything. None of it. None of it. The only thing that matters is how you feel. And if the only thing that matters is how you feel, isn't that the most important thing in the universe then? I know a lot of people want to try to put other things above them, try to think of a whole. Try to think of the community. Try to think of on a macro level. But if you're incapable of that, which I may or may not be, or may be difficult for me, I can't say that's wrong. I can't say wrong or right. And just like I can't say, but I can still say, the only thing that matters is what you feel. And if some people feel that they want to help others, they have no sense of themselves, and they just want to help others. And if they can fulfill that, they can be the person they always wanted to be and hopefully find happiness in that. Find a deep, fulfilling happiness in that. So I guess so the question would be, how much effort do you put in to achieving that? How much effort do you put in achieving how crucial, how important it is? It's like number one. For me, it's like number one, way, way, way up. There's nothing. There is nothing. I've said this before. You see how it rolls back and how you're saying there is nothing greater than me becoming who and what I want to be. Nothing. Yeah, I'm feeling better. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm feeling a little bit better. Guess what? My name is Jeffrey.